As the song said, it's the prophet Isaiah was one of those prophets that foretold of that day when Christ would be like a rose born out on a cold winter night in a desert far away, when he would be born as a Christ child, but yet missed by most that were walking by, not even a room for his head. But that he would grow up among people. He would walk through this world. He would change lives. And eventually, as the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the church at Philippi, he would even humble himself, even to death on a cross. But that there it would not be the end of the story. That once again, life would bubble up in a fresh, new, and mighty way. Then he would eventually, after teaching the disciples a little bit more about what was going on, ascend into heaven. And God would pour out His promise of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. The church would be born and God's Word would begin to spread out into all the corners of the earth. The spreading of that Word would not happen in an instant or the twinkling of an eye. But like a flower blooming, it would happen over time. We're a part of that story as it continues to bloom. As it continues to come alive. As God continues to call us to be disciples for the transformation of this world. As God calls each and every one of us to experience God's grace in deeper ways each and every day. And to share it with people in new ways as well. Today, as we talk about joy. One of the scriptures that talks about joy in the prophet Isaiah lifts up certainly as a hope for a people that had been in slavery, had been in exile for a very long time, but also as a hope to all the nations of the day when Christ would come and redeem us all, when He would pay the price for sin and for death, when He would tear down all the barriers that separate us from God and move us into a place where we could not only be in a relationship with God, but we could enjoy the abundant life of deeper relationships with one another as we journey through life. So listen to Isaiah's words here. In this section, chapter 35, it's verses 1 through 10. It's entitled, The Joy of the Redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and it will shout for joy. And the glory of Lebanon will be given it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. So strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with a vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened. The ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth out into the wilderness. There will be streams in the desert, and the burning sand will become a pool. The thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean won't journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools won't go about on it. There will no lion be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They won't be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. The ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy, they'll overtake them. And sorrow and sighing, they'll flee away. May God continue to bless not only the reading and hearing of His Word, but bless His Word as it bubbles up in our lives and in our midst. You know, there are many stories of transformation in the Scriptures, but this is one of my favorites. This talks about new life that comes from a deep and special place that changes all the world forever. Growing up in Shaftesbury, in a small, out on the outskirts of town, We lived in a small ranch that my dad had built. Down at the end of the driveway was a shallow well, a dug well, 25, 30 feet deep. There was a pipe that ran all the way from the house, and there was a pump in the basement that drew water from the well, and then it flowed out through the pipes into all the house. Now, a couple of the challenges that come with shallow wells like that are, first of all, they're easily contaminated. Now, we were fortunate. It was kind of uphill from the cow pasture that was just down the bank from it. So we never ran into that problem. But there's another problem that comes with shallow wells. Anybody know what that is? Freezing up. Certainly they can freeze up because they're not that deep. They dry up. Some summers, if you don't get enough rain or if you don't get enough snow in the winter, they're really dependent on that source for water. And so they're not always the most reliable. And I can remember many summers that we had to haul water in buckets from family members' house so that we could flush the toilet and use it sparingly, so that we have enough water for showers. I can remember helping my mom bag up the laundry and lug it to the laundromat and grumbling every minute of it, because we knew the well wouldn't be able to stand up and hold up. I remember one summer it was so dry that a friend of ours who was in the fire department brought out a tank full of water, 500 gallons, and dumped it into the well so we'd have a little bit more. Of course, that was a 1963 Maxim, and they didn't make plastic tanks back then. So you can imagine the color of the water that came out of that steel tank. So that meant drinking out of the faucet wasn't an option, and we still had to lug that. As I grew older and moved into the plumbing field, became a licensed plumber, it was in a time when really shallow wells were kind of going to the wayside. Now, I know there certainly are some still around, but also it's well known that they're not always the healthiest source of water and not the most reliable source of water. So most of the wells that we were working on were deep wells, anywhere from 60 to 999 feet. They sometimes had two pipes with a pump in the basement, and sometimes they had a submersible pump that was all the way at the bottom that nobody could see, except for us when we pulled all the pipe that was holding it down there. But that water was drawing water to the house from a different place than surface water. It was a safer and healthier place because the casing that drops down through the dirt that we see on top is bedded into the rock that lies below. And while certainly because we're penetrating that rock, contamination can happen, it's not as likely to happen. And because it's a source of water that's not really dependent on all the rain and snow, it doesn't easily dry up. Although the veins that are feeding it can sometimes move and shift and things can collapse and get in the way, it's a far more reliable source of water. I couldn't help but think of this as I was reading through the scripture this week. And as I was thinking about God's gift of joy to each and every one of us. Sometimes we try to draw joy from a shallow well. We try to draw joy from the circumstances in our life. If we work hard enough and plan good enough for Christmas, if we get things just the way they should be and make the atmosphere just right, then everybody will be happy. And then something unexpected comes up and there goes those plans. You ever been there? Sometimes that shallow well that we try to draw it from, you know, really, in a real way, we're talking about circumstances. We're talking about getting things just the way we want it. And if we can drive out all the sadness, and if we can drive out all the things that we don't want to deal with, then finally, we can experience joy. We forget that Isaiah was writing this scripture to a bunch of people that had been in exile for a really long time. He said, don't worry, this joy I'm talking about here comes from your redemption. Comes from what God's going to do in your life. It's nothing that you can earn, but it's something God's going to freely give. And it's going to bubble up when you least expect it. And where you least expect it. Where do you try to draw your joy from? Is it from those shallow wells, or is it from that deep and abundant place that God reveals to us in all kinds of different ways in the Scriptures? You know, last night when we came home and found out that Belle had passed away during the day, I was pretty angry when I went out to the garage to deal with it. It's like, God, how am I supposed to talk about joy when we're dealing with this tonight? And then we sat down with the kids and we just talked about life and we talked about death. We talked about all that was happening. We listened to the kids and it brought us great joy to hear how they were growing and the wisdom that they had to share. And you know, I couldn't help but think of funerals and wakes. You know, that's what happens when I've always said that healing is what happens when we laugh until we cry and we cry until we laugh. Well, that's because joy is a gift from God and it kind of bubbles up in the in-between of life. It's a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit that bubbles up between you and I in relationships. Joy can come from and does come from our relationship with God. But we also have to remember that the relationships that God gives us to walk through this world with, that's a place where God reveals His relationship to. That's a place where we can experience joy as well. Isaiah says, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those fearful hearts, be strong. Don't fear. Your God will come. You know, this scripture is one of the lectionary readings that's been, I believe, divinely placed in the history of the church at this time of year, because, you know, there's a lot of times here in this country, especially as we journey towards that celebration of Christmas, when we need to hear these very words. When we can get tired of all the things that we have to work through. When we can get sick of even some of the happy the events that we think are going to bring happiness. We can get tired from schedules that are just longer days than we're used to. Because maybe the workplace has some year-end stuff that's got to be done right in the middle of all the other things that we want to be doing. It's a time of year when that thought of trying to squeeze in a couple of minutes to go shopping can leave us feeling exhausted as well. Then there's those fears that creep in there. There's all those gifts that we've been planning for, and all of a sudden there's a new commercial that's got somebody's attention, and we wonder if what we bought is really going to be the thing that they're hoping for. I can see that you know what I'm talking about here. It happens. But yet Isaiah says, don't be afraid, because your God will come. That even when we can't create the Christmas that we want to create, even when circumstances aren't what we thought they were going to be, even in a year when the economy seems to be getting worse sometimes rather than better, Isaiah says, don't fear, because your God will come. And it's in your redemption, it's in your buying back from these circumstances that you have to deal with each and every day, that you will know a joy that comes from a place that's deeper than you ever knew. And in fact, you ever could have dreamed of. Joy is a gift that comes from God this time of year. Sometimes it's a gift that's hard to unwrap. It's hard to let it come alive in our life. Sometimes it's because the circumstances of life get in the way. Sometimes it's just because we come from New England. And we don't want to let anybody know what's going on the inside, because we're afraid that they might not be able to understand it. We're afraid that it might offend them because of what's going on in their life. Yet sometimes that joy that we feel deep inside and hold back because of all that's going on in our life is the very thing that God wants us to share with somebody else in some unexpected way. So as we continue our journey towards Christmas, as we think about that need for strength to take the next step through the busy season that we're in, let us remember the words of Nehemiah, the prophet that was charged with building the walls back up in Jerusalem, that knew all the frustration that comes with any kind of building process, that knew what it meant to deal with people that were frustrated every day, who knew what it meant to trust God when it was difficult, and who said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Let us tap into that eternal source of joy as we continue through the season. Let us let it bubble up inside of us. Let us pour out from us and splash out all over those around us. Let it come alive and make this world a different place like God wants it to. How do we receive that gift of joy when things are difficult, when we're tired and weary? Like we receive anything else from God. We receive it by faith. And I was reading just a couple weeks ago in a devotional online that said, you know, the only faith that's unshakable is a faith that's been shaken. So as you journey through this season, even if you find in moments that your faith is kind of like the audience that Isaiah was talking to, where it's being shaken, remember there that even there, the joy of God's eternal promises are bubbling up in your midst. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for your promise to be with us always. We thank you for the way you work among us in all kinds of different ways. We thank you for the way your life bubbles up within our own during the most unexpected seasons of our lives. Lord, help us to drill down deep into that well of eternal life and abundant joy that you offer us. Help us to walk in that way that you've already laid for us, that we can know the life that you want us to know. We thank you that as we journey through life together, you continue to be with us. That it's in the gift of community that we come to experience your grace in even deeper ways, more abundant ways. Because it's here that we learn to share that joy that you give us. So help us, Lord, to share it with one another here this morning as we continue to worship. Help us to share your joy with others in the week that lies ahead. Help us to remember that there's nothing in heaven or in earth that can separate us from that great joy that you've already paid the price for and freely give to us each and every day. To you be the glory, Lord. We don't know what you'll do with all of the things that you're stirring up in our heart today. But we know the plans that you have for us are good, that you want us to prosper and come alive in fresh new ways. And we look forward to watching it happen as we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.